Thank you. Yes, and I realise that I'm one standing between you and the party, so I will try and keep this at least moderately entertaining. We have a lot of... where do I put the clickers down there? Let's grab it. We've really come a long way with Samba of late. And talks like Douglas is taking through how we've actually measured the performance really... And this is going to be a talk of what some of the things we've discovered while we're doing it. I've been doing this for too long. I started on Samba because when I was a sysadmin, which I'm glad I'm not anymore, I realized that just being an NT4 domain controller was just not going to work. I'm still a little shocked that we're still trying to get people off Samba NT4 domains. I kind of thought they were going to die a decade ago. But they managed to survive long enough for us to get Samba into shape. I work for Catalyst. Catalyst is an amazing company that is dedicated to building free software solutions for clients around the world. We're based in New Zealand, and I'm amazed to now have a team of 5 engineers at Catalyst working on Samba, and we also have an intern as well. So that's my little corner of that company, and I would love to have questions. So if you have the mic at the ready and the hands at the pause, let's see if we can run this talk entirely off track, because that'll be far more fun for all of us. But we really are getting faster. We really are scaling further. Samba 4.4, before we even started, when it was just, let's make this thing just sort of work. It'd be nice if the protocols vaguely passed. We sort of did some tests, and I basically saw how far you could put things in, how many users you could put into Samba in 2 hours. And it's a woeful 26,000. Samba 4.5, we got up to 48,000, but we're now really getting us towards that 100,000 that I teased you all with in the talk title. There's more things to be done, but so far with 4.7, and this was actually numbers I did back in January, 85,000 users was something that was reasonable to add into a Samba database, including adding the links, because nobody just becomes a user in a domain. They're always a member of some groups or others. And it turns out that the group memberships are far more expensive than the users. So I want to show a little bit about how we got here, and I will try and tell you a little bit about where we also still have to go. But we've got a lot. Organizations get a lot of accounts. You've got service accounts, you've got user accounts, but you also have the computer accounts for everyone's workstations. So this is a lot of data, even for a small company or department or university. And in the past, we had very great tools from very great people who built OpenLDAP and made that absolutely scream. And this was a very common setup and scaled really nicely, integrated really nicely with Unix applications. It was beautiful, but it's not what Active Directory is. And so we have to, with Samba, with its internal LDAP server, we have to try and get something near that kind of past that we had around with the OpenLDAP backend. And we really don't want our users to be on the very edge of the Samba's capability, because that's risky. If you're an organization growing at 20% a year, then you don't really want to find out that Samba's not going to work for you next year. And we have gone an incredibly long way. We know that Samba's slow. We've had the presentations, Nadia and others saying, and the likes of Howard Chu putting, Samba's database and his various creations saying, well, Samba barely got off the floor and, didn't complete the test, and here's mine doing, here's 3 million users. We know there's so much to go, but this is the first year that we've had clients really coming to us and say, hey, can you address this performance issue, that performance issue, or this replication issue, which turns out to be a performance issue. And so a lot of small changes support some pretty big results. We rebuilt Samba for performance because people are deploying it at scale. And we now have Samba at the backbone of multinational corporate networks. Replication is what we spend most of our time doing as a domain controller. If you have 30 domain controllers in a large multi-office environment, if you just have 5 that you distribute around, any change that you make is a change that has to be applied to each of those domain controllers. But what we'll find is that because of bugs in our replication algorithm, that change would often be applied more than once. So while a lot of those benchmarks I mentioned earlier were just adding to a single database, what we find is that the spreading the load, the horizontal scalability that people use in order to get Samba to run at adequate performance for handling the logon load or the ridiculous traffic that a tool like Zarafa apparently generates to us. That same horizontal scalability that gets you more performance also gets you incredible performance challenges. Adding a new domain controller means bringing a full copy of the database into that new domain controller. So it's predominantly read operations, but we've had some absolute doozies, some issues that have made them worse than that. But the other thing that's really caught the Samba team by surprise is that everything's fast at 5,000 users, and that's the most that we even try to add in our make test. So the large DC tests we run adding sort of 2,000 users twice. So we don't have a background in Samba of even testing at this large scale of 45, 75,000 users. We don't want to add 2 hours to our make test time, so we don't go and shove that in at the end of the test and check it runs. So we end up with little things in there of to do. This loop is n squared. They were the easy ones to find. You could grep for those. So we have a task. It's too slow to join a DC. It's stuck at the end of this thing, not doing anything for hours and hours and hours. So this is a flame graph. You would have seen that in the previous talk if you were next door. Flame graphs have been the bread and butter of how we've started to try and find a lot of these issues because they show really well where the CPU is spending its time. And so this is the problem that we started with. We had a number of different customers come to us saying that when we replicate and when we join, we get this. And none of these things make sense until you start understanding a little bit of what we're doing. And we found that each of these things that should be particularly cheap was particularly expensive. And I'm going to go through actually in a bit of a reverse order because the first were the things that made the biggest difference. They're also actually the things we discovered last. And this will make, I hope it will make a bit of sense. Our linked attribute code was a particular source of a disaster zone because we did a lot of operations over and over again. Every replicated user, as you created a new domain controller or as you changed your groups, is a pair of GUIDs. This user is in this group. It's fairly simple. But before we had the new KCC that Garmin will talk about tomorrow, when we made a change to one domain controller, we'd broadcast it out to all domain controllers. Well, that's painful, but maybe not too much of a problem. But then we broadcast that back to every other domain controller. Now, we think it could only get to two hops, but that's bad, as because we would send every group member to all domain controllers, which would send every group member to all domain controllers. That meant that we're only changing one user. So these operations that should only have applied, we've only changed one user, this would all be easy, were happening for every user in the group. So if you have 5,000 users in the group, you're going to 33 domain controllers, they're going back to 33 domain controllers. Well, this is why I started hearing traffic, that there's hearing about this constant replication traffic that some Samba networks were having, where 200 megabit was just being consumed constantly around the network. I don't know why we still have some of these customers, but we've fixed it. We've got things going, and we have some very happy people now that this just doesn't break. But the weird bit was we noticed and really started to understand this last, which meant that we started looking at for the micro-optimizations as to why the things that were being done 5,000 times 33 squared, you know, ridiculous numbers of times were happening. And were even possible to see even on a simple test where we were just doing one join, like the flame graph we did. So we looked at the flame graph and we started trying to dig into each one of these things and work out why we were doing it and what we could do better. One of the things we found is we were optimizing the wrong things. We had this beautiful code that would go and do a binary search on a list in order to find the objects, the links that need to be changed. So if we got in, I'm adding this link. We've got to go and find out if it's in the list as a deleted link to reactivate it. So we go through and we binary search it, which is grand. Who doesn't like a binary search? But just beforehand, we got the list unsorted, quick sorted it, and then did the binary search. The quick sort being, and the quick sort had to parse the links, and parsing the links turns out to be quite expensive, let alone the fact that if you're just going to do it, you may as well just search it linearly once. It would make sense if we were really optimizing for the case where someone adds 100 users to a list, because each of those would actually add up and be able to do their binary search. But for the case that we cared about, which was linked attributes coming across replication, they always came as one operation at a time, from to, and we handled that. So the parsing ended up being the most expensive cost, not the thing we were saving with our binary search. And this is what we had to parse. So it's a string. It's not terribly hard. Modern CPU churns through it fairly fast, but there were things in here that just got silly. And we just had a lot of bits and pieces to parse. And when you start doing it that many times, it starts to add up. And we still parse DNs a lot, so this was worth fixing. So one of the things we started doing is that a comment I think Volker told once is that anything in the level one cache is free, whereas allocating memory is certainly not. And we would allocate memory in order to parse these strings, because for reasons we would go and pack these into NDR structures. So now we use the stack to parse that, where previously we'd call out to talloc, allocate up a blob. We'd actually allocate 1,024 bytes just in case. We would then go and put the structure in it, attach it onto the parsed DN, and then shortly thereafter free it. And then we wondered why we got, which is why we very much got this work here, with the talloc free being the cost. Some of that still stayed, but there was also a palm or talloc free. This one here is a talloc free for freeing some of that. We also found that Douglas was digging into this and said, when we're parsing this, why are we using scanf? And why does it accept negative numbers? So these things all came together. We were able to start adding, we added some things to libndr to allow us to basically say, you will parse this, and I know that you are going to need 16 bytes for a GUID. So I'll give you 16 bytes. If you feel the need to expand this, error, because it's not going to, you need 16 bytes. And that made that did make a difference. Now, the difference was seen because of the earlier bugs, but it was still worth doing. And one of the things that we did while we were doing this is we did actually measure. So Douglas showed one of those graphs where we were making some changes, and would be a good one for my part of my slide of things that should have helped but didn't. The last thing that was on his graph showed a line where it just went horizontal, and that was because moving something out of an n-squared loop didn't help, which really confused me. But we did actually go and run performance metrics on each of these changes to see whether we were actually making a difference for our artificially created benchmarks, but not just, yeah, sure, that changes something algorithmically, I'm sure it is better. So the other things that we did is that we had checking for uniqueness in an already unique list. So if we go back to our flame graph again, the flame graphs were what we were basically working on. We would take this graph and we were just trying to attack one of these towers. These flame graphs are interactive, so in my lovely touch board, I'll go, doop, and it will, sadly we don't have a touch screen and this is a PDF. But this would let us, so we could go and touch in here and see, okay, this is being held up by, this is a memcomp, or in going to here and we can go and see what these ones are part of. So we're going to pull apart each of these towers and take quite some satisfaction about knocking down the towers, because as we went through doing this and we would go and benchmark it and see how the benchmark numbers do, and we'd rerun the flame graph, these would just disappear. And so if we've still got time at the end, I will take you through some of the graphs, and you'll see how these towers in here just vanish as we move along the task. So in the unique list, we already had one layer, the layer that was doing that bisection search and sort. Well, we had unique values at that point. It was a property of it. So we passed down a flag to say, this is a unique set of values. So TDB at the bottom didn't go away and say, oh, I better check that's unique, otherwise I'll raise an error. So that ended up being just by repurposing or extending the meaning of that flag. We put that flag into the onto the structure as we passed it down, and it all nicely worked. We've got a bug from another customer where they want that to work for things that aren't links. So Douglas is currently working on some better algorithms. But we were able to put aside that whole part of work just by not doing it. It's the same kind of things that were mentioned earlier with, I think, Ralph's talk. How can GUIDComp be a hotspot? Well, GUIDComp can be a hotspot when you're putting all the links that we're replicating in, if we put them on a linked list, and then we wait to the very end of the transaction to apply them, which means if you bring in 5,000 links, you've got 5,000 elements in this list. And you're searching that list by linear search to see if something is already in that list, which it never is. So you go through and do all this, but we ended with this ON search time being done at N times, and it all kind of blew up real bad. So we saw again another 20% of our time being caught just literally walking this list, checking, doing a dereference, and checking what was going on. So what we basically did is we changed the REPL property metadata just to apply the changes as it heard about them. So they got into the database and out of this list. Now, another 10% just falls away, just as simple as that. Talloc free is incredibly not free in our cost model. It shows up far more than the original allocation. I'm not quite sure why, probably because we tend to build up allocation over time in subfunctions, but you free it as a whole tree. But the talloc free routines, if you remember the flame graph again, and I will keep on jumping back to it because I think it's neat. This stack here was talloc freeing the memory that was allocated here. So this get parsed DNs would go and parse all the DNs, create quite a number of substructures, and then it would free it again, so having just done the work, ready to go and do it all again for the next link. Yes, this sucked. And so parsing it takes this long, and it takes just half as long to free the memory at the other end. I think there's still some work we can do to make talloc faster, but we can also just avoid calling talloc as much as we possibly can. So that was the links, and links have been the thing that melted us most, but it's not the only thing that's got us towards our scaling issues. The next issue that we really had was adding users, and one easy example of some of the things that we had in this area was that we have really shitty index code in Samba. I mean, we don't even sort the indexes. Like, indexes are meant to be the kind of things you optimize. We just do linear scans of the index, and we also didn't even apply much thought. So we're adding an object to an index, but we say this object doesn't exist in the database. We know it doesn't exist because the store just succeeded. But we go and check whether it's already in the index before adding it. So now we go and just add it at the end because it's an unsorted list. Now, we're going to sort that, and it'll have to bisect to find it later. But things like that actually made a difference to our scale because it was going and having to do a stircomp on each of these entries in the list. The other thing that we did per entry in the index list is that we would allocate them individually as strings as we read them from the database. So one of the things that I was able to do, and we would go and do this, and then we would throw it away at the end of the transaction. So the first thing I tried to do was, what if we could keep them in cached? That ended up being an absolute mess, and another example of things that really should help but didn't was keeping these things in memory for longer in the hope that we would be able to reuse the index cache, but all it did was make everything worse. So these little details about changing our index code improved the performance with just adding the user object to the database. And so I can show you a little bit about what we've actually achieved. So this is 4.4, and this is where it's melting at the two-hour point, the 25,000 users, and it's taking about half a second to add to modify each user. This is the time mostly being spent in the linked attribute code, just totally blowing up. So because we've got adding four users to the group, so 25,000 users, you've got 100,000 links. So it's all kind of going pretty bad at this point. So Samba 4.5, you can see that the curve has gone from it. Okay, and here we are at the 4.5 towards 5,000 users, and the modifiers are still taking a while. 4.7, the modifiers. This is the linked attribute handling. And this is the stuff that Douglas did at the end of last year, where he went and sorted those links. And so we no longer have to parse them in order to do the bisection. And so once we do that, it just drops away. And we're still not at O1 kind of behavior, but we're a lot closer to we can, you know, keep on going. You know, when remember it was taking half a second to add the user and all the groups. We're down here. And it's actually fallen below the time needed to do the add to the four links. So, you know, this is how, when I say the road to 100,000 users, this is how close we're sort of getting. I think that if you can do the manipulations in sort of this 0.1 of a second time, and with a bit more work, we're close to that. I think that basically operating at that scale, this is as a single DC. I haven't looked at how it works with replication, but you know, our database fundamentals are getting into a state where that scale is not unreasonable to expect, and where we can just continue to go and apply these techniques to the next hotspots that we see. Now, it doesn't mean that we can continue out to a million halfway all the way across to the other end of the room, but it does mean that we can get to the scale that is the larger organisations that we think are currently interested in deploying Samba. But then again, I've always been surprised at the kind of customers that turn up and say, yes, we'd like to become a Samba Active Directory domain. So some clients really hit our Samba server really hard for search. And this is the area we haven't done terribly much, but we have found a few things. So RAF has come up on the list recently. A thing that really helped a lot with search performance is to defer the allocation of memory. And the same that we said with the index code, this is where I first got the idea of allocating the memory once for the block of for the index block. We now did the same with TDB search, and we found 20% performance improvement in doing this. So what we do is that we go through, when we're searching the database, we have to check each record to see if it matches our filter. Even if the indexes have given us some clues, we still have to check the results, and we have to strip down the attributes from all the attributes that exist on the entry to just the attributes that actually have been asked for. Because often the caller will ask for three attributes, but we've got 20 on the entry. The previous model was to go and do a TALOC allocation for every value in every attribute on the object, and it would go and check if it matched the search filter, free the lot, or pass it all the way up to the caller, having freed the things that weren't needed. And that ended up with another big stack where TALOC free was taking all the time. Matthew Patow tried to do some work to say, work out which attributes are needed and only parse the entries that we need. But I found a simpler approach that didn't have to do complex logic to work out which attributes were being looked at in a search expression. I don't actually allocate memory for anything except for multi-valued attributes. Everything else is a single buffer straight from the database, and we just do pointer manipulations pointing into that data. Because we've got data and length pairs for all of our data buffers, we don't have to worry about enforcing null termination or other things at this point. So we can then pass that up to our search routines, which go and do the matches. The ones that then fail the matches require one TALOC free, perhaps three or four for the linked attribute for the multi-valued attributes we might have, like object class. But that compares with, you know, over 100 that you'd expect allocations, because, you know, 20 attributes and you know, maybe more like 50. But there was a lot more allocations that were required for the typical LDB object. And so then we copy the wanted results rather than try to steal them out, because they're no longer individual TALOC objects. The other thing that we found that's, again, saving quite a significant fraction on our search performance, in this case for unindexed searches, is that we're currently doing a TDB traverse for unindexed searches. That's fine. A TDB traverse will go and do a lock walking along the database. It tries to lock only the area that it needs. But we should be holding a lock across the whole database to prevent the data from changing while we're doing a search, because that's the required for the autonomy requirements for an LDAP server. So once we do that, we then don't need to lock as we go, and we make basically a 50% reduction in the time spent doing an unindexed search. And unindexed searches appear to be what like this Zarafa server is currently melting us with. We also don't have enough processes. We currently run a single process, so we're going to multi-process this. Historically, we didn't think anyone would really hit our LDAP server hard. I don't know why, but we just didn't think it mattered. We thought netlogon and RPCs were important, because I think that was our background. We're going to change to multi-process by default. It's going to be slower if you've got a single client that does a bind, search, drop, bind, search, drop. But if you've got five or more concurrent operations, so we did actually benchmark to see where the crossover point was. I believe it's around that. So if you've got a real network where you don't have absolute synchronicity of one client coming in and going away, then moving to multiple processors appears to be a win, even for the bind, search, drop kind of pattern. And so we're going to move to that. We're just we wanted to get the unindexed search code sort of sorted out first. So these things will also, again, bring us more search performance. And I'm sorry that I didn't do this for 4.6. I sort of chickened out when I saw this part and thought, oh, what can I do to make this faster? And then the deadline approached. But one of the things we've really noticed is that our poor unindexed code, that is, it was doing memory allocation, it was doing excessive locking, really made our indexing code look good when our indexing code isn't really worth having at this point. We could save the whole complexity of using it at all and just do TDP traverses for much of the same cost. So we need to go back and find an index scheme that's actually worth having. I'm awfully tempted to try and steal the one OpenLLAP has because presumably theirs works. So we need to, at the very least, redesign it. We've got a design of changing it from being these variable length strings that we allocate to being GUIDs, because we can do one big allocation of 16, you know, and we know that they're 16 bytes. You just divide it by that into the C array, and you can then move through it, makes it really easy to insert in the right spot because you sort it and then just memmove the rest to the end. So, and we're going to make the database keys be the GUIDs. So we've got a job coming up to do that for one of our clients. So this gives you an idea of what happened with the when we changed the read lock, and we so these ones here is where we changed the locking, and this one made these two were the ones that sort of made a big difference in terms of changing how our LDAP search behavior worked. That sort of gives you an idea, and the particular point I was trying to make with this graph was that DC search performance, and this one would be an unindexed search, is really only twice as high as the performance for the indexed searches, which didn't change with this change. And that's not really good enough for a difference between indexed and unindexed searches. It's a bit of a crappy graph, but it was what I could quickly grab out of our pile. But there is good news. Samba really is getting better. Every release is getting faster. We are getting on top of our problems. We are monitoring performance. We have got scripts that are going through on a fixed box that doesn't vary with cloud operations and other things. We are testing performance on a routine and ongoing basis. We are able to solve each of these issues individually, so we're not trying to go and boil the ocean and fix everything at once with a grand redesign. We are actually just taking on each issue, solving it, and moving on to the next one. And then the fixes are building on each other. You know, 10% here, 10% there. We're actually making some real difference just by piling on little fixes to the same thing. Now, it's going to be diminishing returns. The truly shocking things we hope we are largely to the end of. But I think that we can still squeeze this a little bit more and get us to the scale that is as large as a large government department and most of the kind of size companies are likely to be using Samba. And universities, which are often a hotspot for free software solutions, I think should be able to use this for their student population, including alumni and things. Having sort of shown through some of the things that have gone well and the things that we've done, I wanted to show through a few graphs that we've made. Douglas, I have to thank for these graphs. These are using basically his work, and this is what we've achieved with search performance. Here is where we realised that we didn't need to do the extra memory allocation. Here is where we had another epiphany as to some of the locking around here is... that was some of the link. I think some of the linking things. There were a few other things that we've just made just early in the... This is 4.7 stuff. I can't remember exactly what the second drop is for. Here's the performance drops we've got with the join. So we, the sort of June, July timeframe, we did our first work with unrolling our first N squared loops. And so the time needed to do a join just went through the floor once we got those behaviours sorted out. Adding a user, likewise, here's when we realised about the indexing stuff and here's the. This is where the linked attribute changes have really made a big difference. So there was probably about 20 links or something in that group. So we're able to see that, you know, we are making progress. Here, I don't know why we've had these ones go up at that point. It may be they were a particularly fast test and so there's a bit more noise. But you can see again, this time frame here where we were making the most progress in the June, July kind of time frame. But we're not quite sure why deleting groups got slower. This is when we got in the linked attribute code that made some of the other things faster. So by having these graphs and being able to look at it, you can start to see get a sense of, hey, why did that get worse? And gives us things to investigate. But previously, we just weren't recording it. We didn't have the data. We didn't know what we were achieving over time. And here's what we did with linked attributes. And so you can see here was our first work on the linked attribute stuff. Here's the second lot of stuff that we did, and that's the stuff that we did over Christmas with the binary searching. So now we're watching these things fall out, and as a general rule, because we are actually doing this performance checking of the patches as we do things that we think are performance sensitive, you know, we haven't had too many of them spike above that 1.0. These tests are all, these numbers here are all normalized, so whatever the time the test took back here in February last year is scaled to 1, so that we can try and see things relative without trying to make all the tests run in exactly 20 seconds as a goal. This graph is one that I really like because it just shows how much of a difference the linked attribute tests, linked attribute changes that Douglas was making across January really did. And you know, to see things, say, 60% of the time they were taking is just really impressive and really heartening that we can make such a big difference. And this was, you know, this is putting use 2,000 groups and handling that. So, we're making a difference. We're supporting more users on HDC by having the netlog on server run multi-process. So some networks run with MSChat v2 authentication for 802.1x Wi-Fi, and those networks are going to really hit the main controllers hard when there's a Wi-Fi outage or and so everyone re-authenticates. You don't want that to melt your DC because you've got a bad problem and going to have a really worse problem soon. So by having multi-processors on the domain controller, it can then in parallel accept all the authentications. The NetLogon service is a particular special case for RPC services as it doesn't use some features that were a require the rest of our server to be single process. Because the other alternative was to add more domain controllers, but that adds to the other problems that we described earlier. We're going to move to the multi-process LDAP server. And, so we've done all this. So as I was saying, should we still rewrite? I mean, it's always attractive to say, you know, hey, let's rebase onto Open LDAP. My answer to that was that SAMBA 4 was a rewrite, and that kind of took too many decades. And I've seen the work that's required to rebase onto MIT Kerberos, essentially an engineer, working at it relatively continuously over about 4 years. So I want to carve off these issues one at a time at the moment. I want all of our changes to be bisectable so that when we see some of those lines going back up, we can go back to that point, find that bug, and just fix it without having committed to a particular line of development and be unable to go back and address that. We'll find that we're just dropping in a new change and then, okay, it got slower, but we don't know why or how. We're going to remove other N and N squared operations. Multivalued attribute handling will be improving soon, thanks to Douglas. Index handling is coming along. But we are getting to the limits for our current database. When I did have that large, hitting 100,000 users, the memcopy and memmove in the LDB-TDB transactions were 20% of the time being spent. And that looked like the easiest thing to start thinking about changing. Now, this was on just CPU time, so there's possibly other things that were getting in the way. But that suggests that maybe we want to start using alternate DB technologies like LMDB. I'm impressed by the qualities that LMDB should be able to bring us. So we've got a prototype, and we've got what Garmin has then taken that prototype and redone that a second time. So we've got, it actually can work with Samba. There's a branch that can be checked out and attempted with. It's not a, hey, we'll ship it next week. It's a pile of patches there to demonstrate the capability. But it's seems to make some things faster. We need to go and rerun these tests on it and actually see what the improvements are once we fix the other issues. It was actually the LMDB backend that found a locking performance bug that we think will make a big difference for the LDB unindexed search case, because Garmin noticed that an index counter wasn't being decremented. That was causing LMDB to complain bitterly. So that we're already seeing benefits from the just re-examination of base principles. We also need to try and figure out a way to make sure that some kind of scale performance is part of our auto build or our ongoing regression things. I don't want to add another hour to our build process, but I would like it if things getting drastically slower was actually something that was trapped before patches landed. But we're going to keep on graphing these measures, and we're going to keep posting them in the same way that we post other things to lists to say, hey, here's the status on flapping auto builds or other things. We're going to start posting up graphs or putting them up automatically somewhere. Other than that, we'd like some help. So we have a tool that is measuring what your Active Directory networks are doing. And if you're able to run that tool and get us the output, Douglas showed some examples of that in his talk, then we can then try and replicate that output in a script that we can then run in our performance lab. That will help if you're willing to run Wireshark on your server and then give us the processed output, not the Wireshark output itself, but a processed summary, then we would be very interested in getting that and working with you to then be able to replicate that network traffic, and so you can then validate other servers, validate a pre-production environment, things like that. Are we at 100,000 users? Well, no, but we know how to get there. Last few slides are mostly for the archives because I just want to list what we've done in the particular timeframes. I would encourage for some questions while I flick through some of these. Do we have any questions? Amitai.
I don't remember the current status of what we store in LDBs, but are we still storing strings and parsing them, or can't we just store binary blobs so they're easy to parse?
Yeah, that's the LDB indexes are all strings. The DNs are all strings. Yeah, it's not a very optimized format for parsing. And so extracting an entry from LMDB from the pack format is a considerable part of our cost. So a good restructure there wouldn't go astray. What would be the effort to restructure the database format? Well, I think we're mostly chicken about it in terms of we've really liked the fact that you can downgrade Samba and people can still use it. But it's a matter of just picking a more efficient format and writing the pack and unpack functions for it. So it's not, it's not massive, it's not nothing. It's mostly testing of upgrade and figure out how you're going to let people downgrade, presumably some kind of dump restore utility. Any other questions? Just to recap, this 4.5 got some of the things addressed. 4.6 didn't get much more. We got an extra about 20% in some things as we addressed the memory handling. It's 4.7 where we're going to see the real performance benefits come through. So that's due out in about September. We're going to try and spend the next 2 months between now and, it's not even 2 months, 6 weeks between now and the end of June, when I expect we'll start feature freeze closing, to try and scramble to get as much of these things in as we can. It's all running very soon. This is Catalyst and some of the other things we do. So it's more than just the Samba shop, and it's a great place. I enjoy working. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the party, and keep using and helping us make Samba great.